in the court system. So the question is there such a thing? Now, so you don't just, if a person today in the modern world, let's say, feels that the decision was incorrect, you don't just go to a higher court. They'll say, I'm sorry, I'm not interested in hearing your case. You go to an appellate court. There is a special court that is designated just for this purpose, to listen, just for this purpose. Okay, there's a special court designated just for this purpose, to listen to the decision and to decide if there might be something corrupt in the decision of the lower court, which merits that the case should be sent to a higher, should be sent to another level, to go up one level. Now, in halacha, there's one thing that's for sure. There is no such thing anywhere in halacha to have a special court in Jewish law, in Orthodox Jewish law, just to decide if the case should be appealed. Now, we do have, I'm going to show you different examples in halacha, where there are situations where you are allowed to go to a higher court and have a decision, and as we're going to discuss, the methods and the technique of how you can appeal a decision of a bezdin. But one thing is for sure, there is no such thing in Orthodox Jewish law, in Shulchan Aruch, where the society appoints, we appoint a special group of people to listen to cases, to decide if a decision, there's a possibility that the decision rendered by the Dayanim is invalid, is mistaken, there's something wrong, and the case should be retried by a higher authority, or by a different authority, or maybe by the same level once again. Now, what happened was in the year 1920, when the state was under the authority of, when Eretz Yisrael was under the authority of the British Mandate, there was a person by the name of Herbert Samuel. And he was a very interesting person. He was appointed, he was Jewish, and he was appointed by, they felt he was the perfect candidate, the perfect person to go to Eretz Yisrael and make some changes and to see what's doing. He was involved in various things. He was in the commission, with various commissions that he was instrumental. One of the things that he did, which is not spoken about, and if you look at the encyclopedias and the secular records, secular encyclopedias of his role, they don't speak about much, this is one of the things that he insisted. He insisted to reform the entire system of justice in Eretz Yisrael, which until that point in time was really done by the old Yishuv. There really wasn't much of a Zionism that was active is in the area of justice. There was not much going on amongst the Zionists and justice. It was still controlled pretty much by the people who lived there, for the Talmidei Chachamim from the old Yishuv. And he said that this whole system is no good. The whole system of justice is no good, because I guess the Zionists were moving in. They wanted also to be able to have some type of system of justice. And the only thing that was available was what the old fashion Talmidei, those who preserve the Mesorah, they are the ones who were controlling the justice, and there was no such thing as a court of appeals, which was already common in the modern world. And he demanded that there be a court of appeals. Incredible concept. A special court devoted just for this purpose, that if a person was declared guilty by the Batei Dinim, they have a right to go to this court, and this court will review what has happened, and they will decide if there was some possibility that an error had taken place, and the case should be tried once again. Now, when this happened, this caused an incredible uproar by the people who lived in what they called the old Yishuv, the Talmidei Chacham who were there from way, way back. And at the kach, they were goyzer a tainis tzibur. That year, in 1920, there was a double Adar. Okay, there were two Adars. There were two Adars in that year. And on the first Adar, on the 13th day, which normally would have been tainis Esther, they were goyzer a tainis tzibur. Everyone should fast because Herbert Samuel, is putting his fingers in a place where they felt they did not belong. Part of it is, most of it is from the Sefer, and called Das Konisa, and part of it from Wikipedia, Das Konisa, by Gibbs, Rabbi Gibbs. And some of it I got online, Wikipedia. I, there's a lot of stuff leaving out. There's a lot of stuff leaving out. It's not the point I want to get into. I don't want to waste time on the history because it's not Nogea. I'm just telling you the Rosh Prakim is that this is a fact. It's a Wikipedia as well. I did some research online, looked at here and there, just a few. And that's not the point. I'm not trying to be accurate in every little detail. I just want to point out that this is how it all started. It all started in 1920 during the time of the British Mandate. Herbert Samuel was sent to Eretz Yisrael to reform the system of justice. One of the things he demanded that the Rabbanim living in Eretz Yisrael do is to create a court of appeals. This type of thing was never done, never existed in the history of Klal Yisrael. It is something that is new to the modern world. There should be such a thing. The Rabbanim view this as a threat. More so, the way he records over here in Das Konisa, it was a challenge to halacha which had to be dealt with. In halacha, can indeed there be such a thing? Because we don't have any precedent for this. But they felt that by the British getting involved in the Batei Dinim, it was a slippery slope situation. Once they, even if according to halacha, they can indeed come to a conclusion that you can indeed have a court of appeals, they felt this would just be the beginning of...
He's Makel here. He's very Makel.
Who's Makel?
Gibbs. What happened...
We're in Gibbs. I didn't give it any halacha.
The British government came in after World War I. They won.
Okay.
So after...
British Mandate.
A couple of years, they decided to move over their experience throughout the empire.
Right.
The experience was that every religion had one religious system.
Okay.
The Arabs had a Muslim system, the Christians had Armenian, Catholic, and the Jews had one system. So they were going to vote to make one Besdin, one Rav, Rashi, everything. And the problem was that the Tzionim at that time grabbed the idea because they figured...
They had no court.
We control the, we have the majority.
The whole thing
so
here
we
is
have the majority of the courts, then the courts will be under our control.
Why? I said that. This was the time when Zionism began to spread.
Appeal court, whatever.
No, it did. No, this is
what...
The rabbi's talking about, make this, could you do this?
We're not...
The halakha could.
There are many...
The appellate court.
There were many issues. You're right. We're not going through all the details. You're right. There were many issues. The Zionists have arrived. The state. There is no state. Eretz Yisrael was under the authority of the British. It was under their authority, and the Zionists have arrived. The Zionists did not want to go to the. They needed a system of justice. They didn't have a system of justice. If someone had some type of a dispute, they didn't have a place to go. The only place to go was to go to the Rabbanim. And they didn't want... That was one issue. So number one, they wanted to establish an entirely new system of justice. That was number one. Number two, they realized if they're going to shake the boat, it's not going to be good. Because the number of people who were living in Eretz Yisrael were still loyal to the Rabbanim of the old Yishuv. And they realized by going and creating a whole new system of justice, it would not be a good idea. They had to work with what they had. But the fact that the British were now in control and the Zionists were there, it created a very dangerous mix. And that mix included, number one, is creating an entire, like you're saying, Rav Meir, an entirely new system of justice. But in addition, which is the part that we're focusing on now, one of the smaller elements was this idea they wanted to bring to Eretz Yisrael, which was completely new to Eretz Yisrael and is new to Yadus. It does not exist in the Gemara, does not exist anywhere in Chazal, such a concept which the British were demanding, perhaps, you're right, under the influence of the Zionists, under their influence, is that there should be something called a court of appeals. So the Rabbanim of the old Yishuv, forget about the halacha, which we'll get into in a moment, they just saw this itself as a threat to Mishpat, to the Mishpat of the Torah. So it was such a big deal, they were goyzer a tiniest tzibur for everyone living in Eretz Yisrael on Yud Gimel Adar Aleph. Now, let's put that aside. What taka is the halacha? What taka is the halacha? In Yadus, are you allowed to have a court of appeals? Now today, in the Medina, there's a Rabbanut, which is a very good Rabbanut. Many of the Haredim use the system of the Rabbanut on a daily basis, and the Rabbanut is by and large, the positions are held by Talmidei Chacham or Yirei Shemayim. They do have, believe it or not, in Eretz Yisrael, in the Rabbanut, a court of appeals. They do have it. Rav Kook, who's today's Yard Sire, Rav Kook, held there is absolutely no halachic issue whatsoever. It is mutar lechatchila. Rebbe Yashiv also held, more or less, not to the same extent as Rav Kook, Rebbe Yashiv was also very much involved in the early days. What?
He was very involved
in the early days of the state. Rebbe Yashiv was very much involved in the Rabbanut, very much involved. And he held, believe it or not, like Rav Kook, that yes, it's permitted according to halacha if the issue is an issue of shikul hadas, of which means it's a svara. It's not something which is absolute. It's written in the Shulchan Aruch itself. Basically, he basically in most situations, Rebbe Yashiv held that yes, there's nothing halachically wrong with establishing a court just for the purpose of deciding if a case should be appealed.
Can it be overruled?
Okay, so that's a separate issue. See, the way the appellate court works, they don't decide, they don't give a new decision. They review the decision of the lower court, and they analyze a reason why would you want to have the case tried again. Has something new come about?
No. What? As I understand what we have here, there's matters of fact and matters of law.
Okay.
Matters of fact don't get to be appealed.
Okay.
The matter of law,
okay,
as it was applied.
It's very complicated how it works. It's a very complicated system. But the point is, there is such a Bezdin whose job is just to do this, to review a decision and to decide if the case should be tried all over again.
Sometimes the facts change. You find out information.
You have to analyze. But in halacha, you go through the Shas and you go through Jewish history, there never existed such a thing. Now let me, what did exist? I'll read you some of the Gemaras here inside in a few moments. But basically, the way the system worked in the olden days is, in the time of the Gemara, we have to read you some Gemaras, is if a Bezdin made Paskin Halacha, and then Talmidei Chachamim, who were senior to the Dayanim of the Bezdin, realized there's something wrong, they would go back to the original Dayanim, and tell the original Dayanim to retract, to review what they decided, and they should retract their decision.
They didn't overrule them, they just
clarified. Right.
They
was, exactly. Generally speaking, there was no such thing as being overruled. Generally is, if Talmidei Chacham, who were senior to the Bezdin, saw something that was problematic, they would go and instruct or send it back to the lower, the same Dayanim. The very same Dayanim, and only the very same Dayanim have the power to retract their decision.
But you have this group can believe something, and this group can believe something else. You know,
once the court decides something, that's the way once the court decides, it's finished. There's nothing you can possibly do about it. The only thing that can be done about it was if the same Dayanim who passed in one way, they say we made a mistake and we changed our decision. But one Bezdin, generally speaking, cannot be overruled by another Bezdin. And the only thing the other Bezdin can do is to go and ask the Dayanim of the lower Bezdin, or the other Bezdin, to respectfully say, you know, we think you made a mistake. you made this decision, and in our understanding, this is not correct. There's nothing we can do about it because the halacha stands. Once the halacha has been made, that's the halacha. And but we're telling you, we think you made a mistake, and we request that you review what you have done, and you have the power, you the lower, who made the decision to retract your decision. That is what existed in ancient times.
Not lower in
what?
Using the term lower. No such thing as lower.
Well,
just another set of
Dayanim. And it could very well be they were simple Dayanim. They can be rookies. They can be 18-year-old people. They don't know much halacha. But once a Desdin makes a decision, even Zakenim of the generation, generally speaking, have no right to paskin against them.
But they were not a higher level.
That's exactly the point. There is no such thing as a higher level.
There is.
Wait, we're going to get to wait 1 second. Not so simple. Generally speaking, in halacha, in the Gemara, there's no such thing as a higher level. Now, in Bezdin, you do have. Well, I shouldn't say that. Maybe I'm making a mistake. We're going to give examples in a moment. I'll go quote you all the Gemaras in one example. But generally speaking, when one Bezdin decides something, that's it. Done. If you want the decision to be appealed, you have to get people, Talmidei Chachamim, to convince the original judges that they made a mistake and they should appeal their decision. That's not the way it works today. That's not the way it works today, not in the Rabbanut, and that's not the way it works certainly not in
now
the second.
We have higher levels.
Exactly. We have higher levels, and the higher levels have the power to reverse a decision of a lower level. And not only do we have that, where a higher Bez has the power to reverse, we even have something which is totally foreign to halacha, a special court that is whose designation is nothing other than to decide if the case should be retried. The case should be sent either to a higher court or should be sent back to another lower court to retry the case all over again. That's an incredible thing, which we really have no precedent in halacha if that can be done. Now, we're going to go through some of that. What are the issues? Let's just throw out some of the issues. One of the main issues are, this is very important, you say, there are different type of court cases. There are court cases where the halacha is forced upon you against your will, whether you like it or not. A person receives a hazmana to a din Torah. This hazmana, I don't know you anything. I don't know from you. All of a sudden, I receive a letter in the mail that the Beis Din has demanded that I come to court because so and so claims I owe him money. And the rule is, if you don't come to court, you're in a lot of trouble. Hazmana din Torah is a very, very serious matter. If you don't come to court, the Beis Din writes what's called a seruv, which means that you have refused to come to court. And what does that mean? Well, today it means you can go to secular court. You can go to secular court and v'chulu v'chulu. But if you are in a situation where the Beis Din has demanded with a hazmana that you come to court, and in court they listen to your side of the story, and they listen to your friend's side of the story, and the court decides against you, there a person can argue, this din was brought upon me against my will. I was sitting at home doing nothing. I got a letter, they forced me to come to court. In court I presented my argument, he presented his argument, and the Beis Din passed against me. I never wanted to go to court altogether, and this is what they did to me. You know something? I feel that the decision is not fair. I did not initiate this case. I want it to be appealed. I want to win appeal, and I want to go to another court. Then there is much, much stronger ground in amongst the poskim of our generation, the previous generations, that yes, you can go to a court of appeals, a Jewish court of appeals, and you can go to a higher Beis Din. But let's say what's very common is you have two friends in business. It's very, very common. You have two Erlich HaYirei Shemayim. They're in business together, and there's a dispute. There's a dispute between the two. And none of them is forcing the other one to go to court. Together, the two, Baalei Dinim, the two partners in business, you know what? We have a Shaila. We have a dispute. We're friends. Let's go to a Beis Din. Together. No one received in the mail a hazmana. It's a very dirty word. Hazmana l'din Torah. It's almost a dirty word today. You receive a hazmana l'din Torah, it's like, you know, you're in a lot of trouble. And if you don't come to court, you're even more trouble. It's a dirty word, hazmana. But let's say what's more common today is two people have a dispute, it could be over millions of dollars, and they decide, you know what, let's go to Beis Din. And they both together go to Beis Din. There was never a hazmana l'din Torah. And they decide which Beis Din they want to go. They want to go to Rabbi Spiro's Beis Din over here. Very good. You want to go to the RCA's Beis Din. Very good. You want to go Eretz Yisrael, their Batei Din, their Batei Din in Lakewood, all different types of Batei Dinim. And the people say, we're going to this Beis Din. And they go to Beis Din, and the Beis Din issues a decision. And now one of the two people is not happy. He's not happy with the decision. And he wants to now go have the decision appealed. That case, it's a big, big problem. In that case, many poskim seem to say that you can't appeal the decision. The decision, because since you agreed in the very beginning, you accepted upon yourself in the very beginning, bond, exactly, it's bonding arbitration, and therefore it's not so similar that a person should be put... What? I don't know the techniques. I don't know. We should really bring down the Bucky in the Rabbi Bergman. He has his own business, I think. We should really get him to come here and tell us how the one who in the new shul on 27th Street. Yeah. So he should get someone to teach all the whole system how it works. But that case is much, much more problematic because you accepted from the very beginning the decision of Beis Din. And what gives you the right now to go to another Beis Din or to another court to have the decision appealed when you lichatil agreed to have the decision? If it was forced upon you, I didn't want to go to court, and they forced me, they dragged me into court, and they decided against me, what right do you have to go force this upon me? I want the decision appealed to a higher court. If I agree to the very beginning, I go myself to court, and I agree to this, and then they decide against me, and I don't like the decision, that's not so simple. You have a right. Halach allows you to go shop around and decide.
So who's telling you is a better
what?
If you go to RCA, then you want to go to any
that you feel, for whatever reason, you feel you have reason to believe that
they have better?
Whatever. Obviously, if you want to go to another Beis Din, you have nothing to lose. You have nothing to lose. You already lost, right? So what could be? What could be already? Someone will have sympathy to your case. So now, by the way, now let's go Derech Agav. Let me explain to you what's going on in society today. This is a very, very big problem. We know today, there's a very big issue. Are you allowed to go to secular court? Okay, Meshulchanach ve'eleha mishpatim asher tosim lefneim v'lo lefnei arkois. It's a very severe prohibition for a Jew to go to secular court. It's a very, very, very serious thing. This is deraisa asher tosim lifnehem v'lo lifnei arkoyes. It's a deraisa sechil Hashem v'chul v'chul. So why do people today, right and left, everyone is running today to secular court? So there are different reasons. I'll tell you the real reason. So the reason why is because number one, you go to a Jewish court. Unfortunately, the Jewish court system is not equipped. It's not equipped in many, many situations to properly deal with the issue. So you go to a Jewish court, and they give you permission to go to secular court. That's the way it works. It's a very complex issue. You go to a Jewish court, and the Jewish court says, it's too complicated for us, and there are laws and regulations, and these matters touch upon other issues which we have no authority over. So therefore, you've come to Jewish court, and the Jewish court then writes you a letter. We're not equipped, we're not able to deal with this, and therefore we have no choice, you go to secular court. That's very common.
That's allowed, certainly
it's allowed. But there are cases, you should know, which are very simple, which are very straightforward, and then you're talking not allowed to. It's mamish and isa derai sechil Hashem to secular court. Why in the simple cases do people still want to go to secular court? Here's the reason. Because when you go to a secular court straight, I go to secular court, and the secular court decides against you, you know what you can do? Appeal. You could appeal the decision.
Appeal.
You go to a court of appeals and you appeal the decision. It may take decades, but at least there's hope. At least psychologically there's hope. If you go to a Jewish court, now the rule is there, if the court is registered by the state, by the city, which today many Jewish courts are, so the state is thrilled. They're so happy to get rid of, to knock off, because they're overwhelmed. They have so many cases. If the Jews among themselves are willing to have arbitration, they don't care. They don't care. It's halacha, not halacha. If you can establish amongst yourself some type of court of law and you'll decide amongst yourselves. The government is thrilled. The thrill. Leave us alone. Okay, save taxpayer money. We have enough cases forever. They're thrilled. But there's one catch. If you agree to go for arbitration outside, that doesn't necessarily have to be religious. Any arbitration outside the court of law of the city or the state, the decision is final. There is no appeal. So if you're dealing with Din Torah, $1 million Din Torah, and it's you don't need the government to get involved. You really don't. The issues do not touch upon any laws or regulations that involve this government, and everything is pure halacha. You're dealing with two Yireh Shemayim, and this can be decided. You have you have a Beis Din that's qualified, the best that we have today, that's qualified to paskin the halacha. In a matter, let's say $1 million, you will find today people who are in these types of businesses who have issues, Dine Torah, all the time. They don't view it, I never understood this. They don't view it as, and I personally hear the word Din Torah, I rather get scared. I get scared and I think, oh, they're fighting, they're punching each other, who knows what. So someone explained to me, it's very interesting, a contractor explained to me, he does a lot of contracts, he says, and it was an issue, he says, this is business. This person, I deal with these people all the time, with my electricians and my plumbers and this, and they make mistakes. They make mistakes, and I don't want to pay them. So that's what happened. It was this issue. I had a contract, a subcontract, and one of them made a terrible mistake, which cost a few hundred dollars. So he said, I'm not paying them. So I thought, but the guy is such an erelich guy, you're not going to pay him. It's going to be so ugly. It's going to turn into such an ugly matter. So he says, no, it's not. I work with these people every single day in many, many jobs. When we have these types of issues, this is what he said to me, it's business. It's just a matter of business. Because we do this all the time. And the mistakes happen all the time, and we go to Din Torah. We go to Din Torah, and it's not like you think in Din Torah we're cursing each other, and when the Din Torah is over, I'm never going to look at him, he's not going to look at me, you're not going to look at him. We're in the contracting business. We have a team. We have a team of 15, 20 people in this team, and mistakes happen all the time, and it's just a question, is it fair? Why should I have to absorb the expense? Why should the person who hired us absorb the expense when one of the people on the team made a mistake? So it's understood amongst us, we go to Din Torah. We go to Din Torah all the time. We actually have appointments at Din Torah to settle all of these issues. And it's not like you think. We're fighting and we're cursing each other. We have to clarify how it works. So it's interesting. It was an insight. I still don't believe it. I still think if you lose the Din Torah, you know, you hate each other. But he claimed that's how he, and the way he said it to me, it was something that was totally an eye-opener to me. It makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense what he was saying to me. And he claims it's true. Is it really true? I don't know. That's what he claims.
Now, the next week, if you're doing business with him, they give back.
Exactly. It's a constant. When you're in this type of business and you're dealing with many service providers who you are always using, it's a club. It's a club, and you're doing lots of work, and every day there are issues, and it's inevitable. It's not fair. We have our Beis Din, and we view it pure business to decide these matters. So let's say, indeed, you have a type of situation where it's $1 million is at stake, $1 million. If you lose the Din Torah here, you're talking not going to talk to him in this case, not dealing over here, $100 here and there. And, okay, so we're going to go to Beis Din. I don't want to go to Beis Din. You know why? Because if I lose, there's no hope. It's binding. It's binding to the point where the government will say to me, the government can seize my assets. That's how binding it is. When you have a Beis Din, and Beis Din, they're registered by the state, and you decide to go to them instead of go to the court system, so and the court renders a decision which is filed with the state, that is it. It is final. There is no possibility for an appeal. That's the catch. If you go and you have your case tried in Court Street, You can go and you can sit there in Core Street l'olam v'ed u'l'neitzach nitzachim for many layers of appeals. Appeal, 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 until you get to the Supreme Court. Okay, the United States.
The final disposition of halacha may be contrary to the
second. Exactly, exactly. That's what the state says. You want to go have your own bati dinim? Gesundheit, but don't bother us.
Well, it could be illogical too.
Illogical, exactly. Don't bother us. If this is what you accept upon yourself, go to your Besdin. Whatever they decide, they file with us. It's a recognized court of law. We recognize them. They're going to file it. Whatever they decide is binding. And if the person does not pay, they have the right to come to the police. And the police can get involved and they can seize the person's assets. We're going to put a freeze on their bank account. What? Yeah, we freeze their assets. So that's very scary. That's very, very scary.
Why is it so scary than a regular court?
Because a regular court, you can appeal the decision.
So what? So you have to pay a lawyer.
Yeah, so it's psychological. So maybe it's psychological. It's the principle. Yeah, it's you're right. You're saying it's true because the lawyer's fees will eat up all the money anyway. You're right. There's no question about it. But it's psychological. It definitely has a major effect on people who are involved in big business deals. There are a lot of tycoons out there. You'd be surprised. A lot of tycoons out there that are involved in these wheeler dealers, in these big business deals, and they have big disputes with their partners over lots of things, which gets way out of hand.
What percentage of appeals win?
What? Very few. Very, very few. I told you, it's psychological. It's all psychological. Very few win. Appeals, very, very few. But still, psychologically, people in their mind, they want that insurance. That's how it is. This is the mitzvah. So people are very, very nervous to go to a Beis Din for this reason alone, especially dealing with big money. Not dealing over here with small
claim
court. So who says Beis Din is a right? Who says Beis Din is a right to give you permission in these type of cases? If you're dealing with a case which involves, let's say, Rachman on some abuse, Beis Din is not getting involved. You're going to the police. Okay, you go into the court. But you're dealing with money, and let's say you're not dealing with taxes, you're dealing with something which is totally outside the purview of the court. There are many cases. I'm not into this, I can't tell you the situation. So it's a chil Hashem. Ve'ele ha-mishpatim asher tasim lifneihem. So you come to court. The court cannot deal with it. That's it, go to court. But the court can deal with it. But the Baalei Dinim say to the Beis Din, we know you can deal with it. We know that you're eager to deal with it. We'll pay you. We'll pay you whatever your fee is. But we don't want you to decide, because if one of us loses, we want to be able to appeal the decision. That's very common. And Beis Din, and because if we go to you, we're done. That's because the court will enforce the decision by taking away our assets. So that opens up the question. So why can't we have amongst the Beis Din itself a court of appeals? Wouldn't that take away the chil Hashem? Wouldn't that take away the issue deraisa of eilech hamishpat masher tosim lifneihem? So let's amongst ourselves have a court of appeals and tell the government that we have our own system to say gezunt hate. You have your court of appeals. Whatever you do. Leave us alone. We'll be very happy to accommodate our court of appeals. So why don't we have a court of appeals?
Because no one can be master on
it. What? Right, but in the Rabbanut, in Eretz Yisrael, where they have there the funding for it, and they have there the whole hierarchy, they taka do have it. And then 1920 was the first time in Jewish history where this was proposed, that there should be an official court of appeals and a system, not just Tanakh, we knew the Gemaras of situations were overturned, against a system where you could overturn decisions. Where you have a right to an appeal decision, go to a higher court. So in Eretz Yisrael, the first time such a thing was introduced to Klal Yisrael was in 1920 by the British, by Herbert Samuel, his commission. He wanted to do this. And Rav Yosef Chaim Zonnfeld, he went berserk. He went crazy over this. They thought that then the next thing was going to be, what was it said in the history? They thought, once they win here, maybe Taket Smuter. Maybe Taket Smuter. Rav Kook said it's Smuter, others said it's Smuter. But Rav Yashin was not so against it. But once this becomes smooth, they thought, what's next? Shemitah. They were very scared that the British would get involved in the Yonei Shemitah. Shemitah's Karkois.
Their problem was not...
And then they were afraid of Yerusha. They were very scared. They would mishchrein in the laws of Yerusha, Pishnayim and the Bas, which anyway...
The marriages...
Right, one thing, but the main things they write in the book over here was there were two things that were on their mind, that they were pressing on their mind. The guard, they wanted to get involved in Shemitah and in Yerusha, which they wanted to do Mamash Shloika Halacha. And that was, they got very nervous, and even though this was okay, they would really be masking to the Court of Appeals, they felt once they get their hands in the door, they'll totally take over everything. So they made a tie, they anyway lost, anyway didn't make a difference. Anyway, they made a Rishon Litzion, they made that goes back already hundreds of years. The chief judge, they wanted to make, in the 17th century, they wanted to make a very big Talmud Chacham to make the Dayan for whole Eretz Yisrael, to be Mamish, the chief judge. So they wanted to call him a certain, so he says, you cannot call me by that title. He was masking that he should be called the Rishon Litzion. So it became traditional, like the chief justice, what do they call the Rishon Litzion today now? The Prime Minister? What?
Rishon Litzion.
Rishon Litzion. So where did that come from? That came out of a refusal. I have the name over here in the 17th century of a dayan they wanted to appoint. Everyone was masking he should be the chief, should be the final decision on halacha and Eretz Yisrael. And out of humility, he says, they wanted to give him a certain title. And he said, no way. And the only thing he accepted was the title Rishon Litzion, which was, I guess, considered to be a title which was not very chashuv. Well, now we could call it chashuv. At that time, after the study of history, at that time it wasn't considered chashuv. That title was a new title. It was a new invention relative to what the other title that was really. Today, we are Rishon Litzion. We're like, wow.
Wait, in 1900s, there was a Rishon Litzion?
Yeah, because it goes back to said, because the first time it was invented
by
was in
the
Spartan. The first time was the year 1699.
Okay?
1669. Here it is. I have it over here. Here it is. Here. Hatoyar Rishon Litzion Nichtedol Rishon of Moshe Galanti. Galanti, you know who he was?
Galanti?
Yes. Neulad Bishnas 1620. Vinifter Bishnas 1669. Viroshu Anshe Yerushalayim. Lesomchai Bitoras Rav. They wanted to call him the Rav of Yerushalayim. For whom he goidel anvisanuso, his humility. Loirotso Bishum Oifen. Vihiskim, Vuhuskam Lihikore Bishem Rishon Litzion. Instead of being called the Rav Harashi, whatever title they wanted to give him, this was a Nechoyz Dargum. That's what it says here. Today, you hear the word Rishon Litzion, you shake. Rishon Litzion. But Rishon Litzion was a substitute not to be called a title that would be more Choshev. And who is the person that it all started with? Rav Moshe Galanti, in the year, somewhere between the year 1620 and 1669.
The
Arizal.
The
Arizal? Okay.
You know,
now,
they had the same argument in Europe between every city when they wanted to make a Rav Rashi.
Yeah.
That the established community said, we're not ready for that. We're not willing to be fortunate.
Okay. Well, now let's discuss the different issues, the different sources for this issue. The source of the issue is the first issue really is famous Gemara and the Gemara's case, and then the problem is all of every single source that we're going to quote, whatever time we have left, unfortunately is not a good example. It's close but no cigar. It's a very interesting example of where Yitaka find an appeal, but it's not the type of court of appeal system which we are proposing to do like what the Goyim do. The Goyim, they have a system, and the system the Goyim have is not, there's no precedent for that system in the Gemara, even though in the Gemara you have many situations which are pretty close, but close is not enough. It has to be exact. There are many major problems. Here's case number one. Case number one is a Gemara Masechta Sanhedrin, Amar Rav Safra, Shnayim Shenis Atzmu Bedin. Two people that are fighting, they are, nis'asu means they are prevailing one upon the other in din. And what's the issue? It's famous Gemara. Where should we go to court? That is a very, 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 what's the first fight you have with your Baal Din. The first fight you have is, which court will decide? Will we go to the RCA Bez Din? Or we go to the Bez Din, the Vada Rambam Flapush? Or we go to a private Bez Din? We're going to go to a Bergman's Bez Din? Who are we going to go? Right, Belsky's Besdin, where are you going to go? Lakewood Besdin, there's so many Badidinim today. It's a good business. It's a good business. There's a lot of Badidinim. What? The Italian. Okay, so where do you go? So the first fight, so Zeh, Barlo, Dayan, Echad, Vizeh, all these rules. So they're fighting. So the first fight is, where are we going to go? So one of them says, I want to go local. We have over here in Flatbush, we have very chosher people over here. Let's go local. We don't have to spend any money on any Ubers. We can spend right over here local. And the other one says, no. I want to go to Yerushalayim. I want to go to the Gedolei Hadar. The Gedolei Hadar, I want to go there. Shnayim, Shenis Atzmu B'din, Echad Oymer Nidon Kan, the Echad Oymer Nelech L'mokim Havad. Let's go to the Vad, which means to the place where they produce. The Talmud, the chief.
I thought they would each pick a judge. And then
well, that's what it says they're supposed to do. Started. That's exactly so. They can't
but
agree on that.
Go to your CFS and they, all three are automatically?
I don't know. It's a complicated system. Every situation is different. I don't know the answer. I'm not prepared to even answer. Every situation is that there are different types of what they deem, different types of situations. In every situation, in Echnami, sometimes you do select, sometimes you don't select. It's complicated.
So but, a city in Europe, they had a Bezdin, not chief, the rabbi of the city, but the Bezdin besides that.
I don't know. I don't know the answer. I don't know how it worked. In every situation, it's different. There are Bate Dinim, but the Bate Dinim have a pool of Dayanim. The RCA has a very large pool of Dayanim who serve. So if you want to go to a Din Torah, so L'char, they give you the list of Dayanim and you select.
Oh,
these are...
When you go to a Bezdin, you're not choosing a...
It depends.
Like this, so you choose the panel.
It depends. It depends on what the situation is. It depends on what the type of din Torah is. Sometimes you don't choose. You come to the court. You listen to us. We'll tell you what the answer is. And sometimes the situation is okay. This is a complicated case, and the rules in Shulchan Aruch demand that you select a judge and let your friend select a judge, and then the two judges amongst themselves will select a third judge. Or maybe you'll agree on a third judge. And who are the judges? Well, these are, I'll give you a list of 25 people who serve on the RCA Bezdin. So go and pick from the 25 people. Pick from the 25 people. That's our Bezdin. We can't help you. This is our Bezdin. We have only these people who work for us. If you don't like these people, you can't sell. So go to the Bezdin. Go somewhere else. They have their pool of Dayanim and let them settle it. You'll figure it out over there. It's very, very complicated. Every situation is different. And the truth is, Bizman has said what makes it more complicated is there's no such thing today really as din. Today everything is more dispute resolution. Dispute resolution, it's not really a mishpat, and that's why the rules are so much more relaxed.
Shara,
it's much more relaxed compared to what should really be according to the letter of the law.
You're speaking of business
law. Right.
No,
matrimonial laws. No, you come. A person comes for chalitza. You come to our bezin, so we do chalitza. Our judges are out. We decide who the judges are. Okay, you come to a question of a matter of issa v'heter. Is the kosher? Or is the shayla of $1 million of meat? Is it treif or treif or not treif? You come into us. We have our dayanim. We decide on matters of issa v'heter. Dinei mamonis is a whole different world. It's a very complicated matter. Now here's the Gemara. Let's just throw out some Gemaras to get an appreciation that the Gemara really does deal with this. But the problem is, every case the Gemara is not exact what the Goyim do and what we're trying to do today. So the first Gemara is you have two that are fighting. One says I want to go local, and the other one says no, I don't want to go local. I want to go to Yerushalayim. I want to go to Yerushalayim. That means I have to take off 2 weeks of work. I got to take off from work for 2 weeks. I got to travel. I don't travel well, you know, on the seas and the salt. It's not so easy for me to go. So I demand we go to the best Bezdin. Does the one who wants to go to Yerushalayim have the right to demand the power to force the other Baal Din to go to Yerushalayim? Or can the locals say, no, I can force you to have the Din Torah right here, locally in Flatbush? It's a Gemara. It's a Feirush Gemara. Echad Oymer Nodon Kan, the Echad Oymer Nelech L'makim Havat. So what is the halacha in Gemara? Koyfinay Soyvedon V'iroy. You cannot force me to travel. If we have a local din, we have business in Flatbush, you stay put right here. However, there's one catch. Let's say he said it's so common, but it's so complicated. The people here are not qualified. Now here's it. The dayanim here in this city, they're not qualified. So we have no choice. It doesn't matter. I'm not leaving this city. If they're not qualified, they'll write a letter on the issue that's not clear to them and send it to Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim will send back an answer to the question. So to the Ad Kedei Kach,
instead of going
the Bezdin, but you not you, the Bezdin will be the ones that will communicate, will send correspondence to the, because they'll know what to ask.
You mean on a point.
On a point, exactly. You still don't go. V'im hutzrach davar lishol kaisin v'shoilim. V'im omar. Now here's the part that we need for our Gemara. Fine, we're going to go to this best. I have no choice. But there's one thing that the Gemara does give the person who wants to go to Yerushalayim. They do give him. They give him the right, basically, to appeal the decision. They give him the right, that's what it says, they give him the right to demand that the Dayanim write out their psak and their reason. So he can then go and take the psak and the reason to Yerushalayim. Look what it says, unbelievable. Vim Omar, if the person who wants to go to Yerushalayim says, okay, you're forcing me to have it here locally. Kisvu utnuli, write and give me ezetam. Why you decided this decision? You should know that today there's a very big issue, controversial issue today amongst Rifin Dayan, Bodidinim. Do they write the reason for their psak? That's a very big topic amongst Dayanim. What? Once you go and you write over your reason, so you're opening yourself up for trouble. So a lot of Bate Dinim, they like not to write, they decide, none of your business why we decided. We like him better. None of your business why we decided. Some Bate Dinim, they have a pshara, and what they do is they write their decision, but it's private, it's on file. They do, I think a lot of Bate Dinim today...
It's open
to appeal to a degree, but it's not open to the public. A lot of Bate Dinim.
No, I'm just saying, if you go to another business.
Okay, let's see. That's the question.
And they ask for the decision, and probably you don't even know it.
It all depends. It's not so simple. But what happens today, I think more often than not, is there is someone in the when the Bezdin decides, the Bezdin, they write their decision and they write clearly with great detail the reason why they decided this way. But they do not give it out to the public. Okay, it leaks, fine, but it has to be written, it has to be official, no hanky-panky. The way it's official, it's written, and it can be reviewed, and it's on file, but it's not online. It's not available for the Hamoinan.
It's told to both sides.
It's told, but just because you tell them, who's they even tell them? That's how they even tell them. That's not what they tell them. I don't know. Everything that, but the decision with the reasons are written, they're put on file, and they're put away. And in case there is a need for an appeal, which there are situations, then in a chinami, then
the
decision.
People don't have to know, because if they think it's unfair, they can go to another bed.
Well, that's the question.
Review it.
That's the question. That exactly is the question that we're dealing with. That's exactly what we're discussing the whole hour here for. So here, what is it in the Gemara? It says, "Beferush in the Gemara, v'im Omar kisvu tnuli me'ezetam denoisnei dinis." I don't know what this word is. Kaisvim denoisnei lo. Yes. If you originally wanted to go to Yerushalayim, and they force you to have the din Torah here, the very least is the best and writes their decision. They give you their decision writing, and when it's over, you can pick yourself up. You can go to Yerushalayim, to the biggest best, and show. You know what happened to me in America? In Flatbush, they passed against me. These are the Dayanim, and here is the written decision. So what do you see? You see explicitly in the Gemara, there's something called an appeal. Now, by the way, this is not a court of appeals. Don't get me wrong. There is no such thing in the Gemara anywhere, like in America, where there's a court whose whole tafkid is to decide if the decision should be overturned. But here, at least, you're given the decision, and you're given the ability now to take that decision to go to Yerushalayim.
But they're not overturning. If they
agree, that's the question. What exactly? Exactly. Omnom, let me go look. Omnom, look, Tysus put some water on this. Midivrei Tysus, there is Mashadavka, but Oifen Shinis asked. First of all, Tysus says the only time you have the right, chutzpah, to go to Yerushalayim, what right? Tysus the Farish, to go to Yerushalayim and to show them what the Bezdin did, that's because I didn't want this Bezdin to begin with. I never agreed to go to this Bezdin. I wanted Lechatchila to go to Yerushalayim. He wanted to go over here to the local Bezdin.
That's when it's allowed.
What? Then it's allowed. That's right. But let's say I agree. Okay, we'll go to the local Bezdin. That's fine.
He has to go to the local Bezdin under protest.
Right. Exactly. Only when you go under protest, then you have a right to have the decision written up and you can take it to Yerushalayim. And even then, what are they going to do in Yerushalayim? They'll look it over, and if they say, you know, we disagree, you will just... all they'll say is, we disagree, we think they made a mistake, go back to your local Dayanim and tell them what we have to say. If their conscience bothers them, when they hear what we have to say, and they say, you know, this God says this, you know what? I defer to what he says, I retract my decision.
But does the original person have to say, I'm doing this under protest? Does it have to be?
Yes. The only, yes. The only way he's going to get a letter from the Dayanim with the Psak Din and be permitted to go to get the Psak Din and go to Yerushalayim is only when originally, I don't want to go to this Beis Din. This Beis Din is not my Beis Din. I don't want to go. I want to go to Yerushalayim. The halach is no. You cannot force someone to go. You Baal Din to go to Yerushalayim. You have no choice. You live in the city. This is where the Din Torah is. But being that you are pro, that you want to go to a better Beis Din, so we give you the right to protest the psak. How do we give you the right? We have the local Beis Din write down the decision and its reason. And you now go to Yerushalayim. But what's going to happen in Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim, they're not going to overturn the decision. They're not going to overturn the decision. They'll read over the decision, and they'll express their opinion, and if they disagree, they'll write a letter that this was the reason given, and we think that's not the right reason. According to our understanding of halacha, this reason is invalid. They'll take that letter, they'll go back to the local dayanim, they'll read what the dayanim said, and they say, okay, you think like that, we think like this. You live in Eretz Yisrael, you have your svaris, we have our svaris, and we disagree. Sometimes, you know, the Taka right. You know what? We retract our decision. But the Beis Din in Eretz Yisrael, nowhere does it say has the right to change the Psak Halacha. Uh-huh. They don't overturn it. Yeah.
If this is like a petty dispute, courts cost money. A young court.
Yes.
If you don't want to go to court, could you force him? It's a $500 bill. By the time you finish it, it's $2,000. Because they charge you $100.
There are certain rules. There are certain rules in halacha, in Shulchan Aruch, in Cheshem Mishpat. These are general questions, and there are answers. There are rules in Shulchan Aruch of how much percentage of the dispute you're going to have to pay in legal fees. Okay, you're asking general good questions, and there are answers. I don't know the answers to these questions. These are general questions. Maisim Mechol Yom. You go to court. I don't want to go because I don't want to pay the lawyer's fee. This is Maisim Mechol Yom, these questions. Right. So that's right. So that's these are general. We're not discussing. Let's put those questions aside. Let's discuss the general principle. Is there such a thing in halach? To appeal the decision. So this is not a riot. This Gemara, Tosfos says beferish. The only time you have a right to appeal the decision, even if it's limited how you, is only when you are forced to go to the local court. But let's say, the reasons. Aval be'oifen shabot shnei baleidinim miritzoinam lodun b'fnei bezdin. Tosfos says beferish. Ein choivas ha-bezdin loymar lohem mehechon donu oisam. That's it. It's closed. Case closed. There's no appeal. Okay. Now, that's one Gemara. Okay, now there's another Gemara of Rav Nachman. There are many other Gemaras. I'm going to go backwards. I'm running for a long time. There's a case of a famous Gemara with Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was a tough guy. Mesech v'ksubis. I'll tell you the story. Havi uvda bin ahardo v'don dini din ahardo. The Pumpadisa, the case over there was, a man died, he left over Yerusha, and the sons chapped the Yerusha for themselves. And they did not give the daughters a penny. And the daughters were walking in the streets penniless. They were. So, in Pumpadisa, and what happened, the Agvus, so there was a mice done in Pumpadisa, and there the Dayanim Paskin, you have to give the girls. The Agvei Rav Chana Bar Bizna Amalu Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman Taka said Shloi Kedin. Okay, whatever the case was, Rav Nachman there said, he told the Dayanim, I demand of you, Amalu Rav Nachman. He told two Dayanim, Zilu Ahadru, retract your decision. I demand, and he was the chief the chief dayan there, in most respect dayan, v'iloy magvina luchula padnaichu minayu, I will take your assets. I have power. If you don't pay back, if you don't retract, I threaten you. If you don't retract your decision, then I will repossess your house, your car, all of your assets. Okay, there are more stories like this in the Gemara.
And that's what I asked about a city in Europe. If the rabbi of the town has a right to intercede.
Right, so yeah. Here, notice...
The famous get, the get from... there was a machlekes on
that. Oh, Yashar Adolsky?
Cleve, yeah. There was a fight all over. You had Besen after Besen.
Okay, but the over here, the case of Rav Nachman, which is probably the strongest Gemara that we have, Rav Nachman over here, he says, he has all the power. He has government power. He can go and he can seize people's assets. Yet, he told you, I don't have the power to retract your decision. Isn't that amazing? You're Bezdin. You are an authorized Bezdin. My hands are tied. I'm threatening you with your life. You better change your decision, otherwise you'll be in the streets. So why do we need Rav Nachman to say that? Just say, I'm the supreme authority over here. I change the decision. So you see an incredible thing, that even Rav Nachman, who has the ultimate authority, did not himself, on his own, change the Psak Halacha. He forced the people, the Dayanim, to change their Psak. And that's an extreme thing. Now, then the Gemara says, Omnam, let me read what it says over here, Omnam ain Rayim Rav Nachman, but at least what do you see? At least you do see there is something called a Court of Appeals. You do see that a decision can be appealed, Rav Nachman says. So even that, he writes here, Omnam ain Rayim Rav Nachman, Hanal, Sherei Kayim Lon Rav Nachman, Bedine. The Gemara in Ksubis says, the famous statement, in Isser the Het, we pass like this person. In this, we pass like this person. Among the long list of Amaroyim in the time of the Gemara, it says it is accepted as a standard rule that bedine we paskin like Rav Nachman in dine. Kaimelon k'Rav Nachman bedine in dine m'moynes. And I'm reading over here what it says over here. Muvur b'roiv rishonim shakavana lav davka k'shecholik al Rav Sheshes. Elo huadin k'neged kol amoyra u'cholosh nazeh om isa b'sech l'ksubis ano dayona ano Umar lav dayana. Okay, Rav Nachman said to a person, I'm a dayan and you're not a dayan. He let the person have it. V'chem of mitzia, shom Rav Nachman, kuli alma, everyone klape didi kidar dikihan, the children. Every judge in this city, they're like a child compared to me.
The question actually is, if there's a male child, the father dies, right?
I don't want to get into the shot. It's not important what the question was. We're not going there. That's not relevant. The question is, a decision was made on a controversial matter, and there are two different opinions. And the Dayanim Paskin one way, and Rav Nachman, who was accepted to be the Gadol Hadar, to the point where the Gemara says, anything Rav Nachman says is this gold standard. And Rav Nachman himself said about everyone else in his generation, they're like children. They're nothing. And Dayanim Paskin, they made a decision. And Rav Nachman was not happy with their decision. And he told them, change your mind, change your decision, period. Now, so what is the point? And what at least do we see? We see that there is a Hechat Himsa where a Bezdin makes a decision, and the decision can be overturned. You go to a higher court, you go to a bigger court, and the court says, the court will say, they're wrong! They're wrong! The lower court made a terrible mistake. And therefore, I demand that the lower court changed the psak. I'm telling the lower court what to decide. Now you see, number one, you see that Rav Nachman himself can't make the decision. Rav Nachman can force, with the full force, to force the lower court to change their decision, issue the decision according to his liking. Wait, 1 second. So today should be the same thing. Today you have a lower court, and people make an appeal. They don't like the decision. So you go to a Bezdin that's acknowledged to be a far superior Bezdin, and they will review the case, and they will say, these Dayanim over here, they don't know what they're talking about. And therefore, we overturn the decision. And how will we overturn the decision? And they're stationary. We're going to force them to overturn the decision. That story in the Gemara is not relevant to today's day and age. because there's no one today that is recognized as Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman was recognized, Kai Milan, it is accepted, we pass him like Rav Nachman Bedine. It's
like a
Reish Galus. Exactly. It's like if you make him, everyone agrees, if you make a mistake, something that's explicit in Shulchan Aruch, that's nothing to talk about. That's a mistake. If you go to a Bezdin and they paskin something where it's black on white in Shulchan Aruch, what the halacha is, that's a mistake. If there's a clear-cut mistake, that's it, it's over. There's nothing to talk about. The sack is bottled. All of these questions are where it's not clear-cut. You can say a svara like this, svara like this, and the bezin paskin against you.
But
so you're bitter.
It had to be mamonis.
Mamonis, of course mamonis. Only mamonis. Only mamonis.
But if you're talking Yerusha, then it's not only mamonis.
Yerusha can be mamonis. Can Yerusha... Don't get... There are many different situations. Let's just talk general terms. There's a question where it's totally in what's called shikul hadas. It's totally in weighing the different svaras. You can say like this, and the Bezdin decides one way. If Bezdin explicitly makes a mistake in something that's explicit in the Shulchan Aruch, then they talk about. The Shulchan Aruch, it says no. They don't know. They don't even know the Aleph Beis. You're not even qualified to be a Dayan. What are you doing to be a Dayan? So the chiddush is that Rav Nachman was so brilliant, was so well accepted, his logic, his svaras, which are the normal circumstances, you can argue like this, was so well accepted that if a dayan, that if a lower court decides one way, Rav Nachman does not like decision, it's as if they made a mistake in the Dvar Mishnah. There's no one today that's on that level. There's no such thing today. You have a dayan today.
Obvious.
Then
another best thing can say, go back to them and say you made a mistake.
They can probably do even better. They can probably revive them. The whole decision doesn't even stand to begin with. If you make a mistake, but it says in Shulchan Aruch, that's nonsense. We're dealing over here only with situations where it's not in Shulchan Aruch, and you have to decide, compare. To say a svara, why in this halacha this should be the halacha, and you can say a svara the other way around. You can argue both ways, so you have to come to a conclusion. What is correct? But it's not explicit when you're dealing with a Rav Nachman. So why should we go to the local dayanim over here in Flatbush? There are people in Eretz Yisrael who know infinitely much more, and they have much greater clarity in these matters, and they can tell you what's an authentic svara. Is there anyone today that can say that is recognized as the ultimate authority? No, of course not. No such thing. If it's totally in Shikul Hadas, in Svaris, there's no one today that's recognized as being an absolute authority where you can say, so therefore you can argue, there is no such thing as the Court of Appeals. There is no such thing. Okay, we're out of time. There is one other thing, the Gemara says, Bezdin, and the whole Gemara that talks about Bezdin Achar Bezdin Loi Daike. The one bezin does not challenge the decision of another bezin. That's a Nusuf of the Gemara that would appear to be a very strong proof in that sugya that there is no such thing as an appeal. Once a decision, but the truth is, when the more you study that Gemara, is discussing a situation of yibam and chalitza, where and there it's not yet money also, because whoever, if you do yibam and chalitza, Then the Yerusha goes to the other party. But there, that Gemara, the issue is not an issue. It's not an issue of svara. It's an issue of investigation. In other words, this is an important thing. Bezdin, many times, it's a very boring job, right? You think, oh, it's such an exciting job. Every day, you're deciding, you're making decisions on chidushim. Asvar azoy. We pass like the ktsais or we pass like the nesivis. Asvar like this, svar like that. You know what Bezdin does most of the day? Like a pilot. A pilot. What's the exciting part of being a pilot? When you take off and you land. And what do you do the rest of the time? Nothing. It's boring. It's the most boring job. Okay, what do you do on the plane the whole day? Nothing. Just sitting there. Dayanim, unfortunately, most of their job is investigation. It's not so much fun just to determine the facts. A woman comes and says, I need chalitza or yibam. You do? Okay, who's your husband? And you're telling me that this guy is your brother-in-law? How do we know he's your brother-in-law? We have to go and check it out ourselves. We have to go to the hospital and look at the birth records. We have to go to the family. We have to go to the shul. We have to go to the cemetery and look at the kavarim and look at the matzavis. A good part of the job of a dayanim is investigation. That's what it's all about. And then, like landing and taking off, landing the plane, taking off, then when there's a whole dilemma, a halachic dilemma, what should you do? Do you go like the Ketzos and the Nesivis? You say, especially like Rashi, Astir and the Rambam. You go like this Rambam and that Rambam, the Mechalek. No, those are your highs. But most of the job of a dayan is paperwork. It's paperwork. And I used to teach, you know, the job of teaching, it's unbelievable. The paperwork is a note of oyum. Literally drowned in paperwork. It's being adjunct. It's unbelievable. There's no end to it. No end. You spend much, much more time on paperwork than you spend teaching or doing anything else. So Dayan, they do paperwork. They have to make these very intense investigations to determine the facts. So when the Gemara there says, Bezdin, achar bezdin, loy daike, that one bezdin has no right to challenge, you know what it means? It means one thing only. When you study the Gemara, it means in their investigation. If Bezdin launches an investigation and comes to the conclusion that these are the facts, enochinami, the facts are not subject to appeal. Unless you have something which is blatantly wrong. I mean, obviously, that's a different story. But let's say it's a question, listen, Bezdin, they've determined A, B, and C. I'm not happy with their decision. Their decision is based upon A, B, and C. So you go to another Bezin. So that means Bezin will have to now spend 2 weeks traveling to another part of the world to launch your own investigation. No. That you don't do. There's no such thing as appealing a decision of Bezin when the decision of Bezin is based upon the investigation of Bezin.
Why
don't
they have their own
facts? Then you got a problem. But if they present the facts and you have no reason to assume there's a problem, you have no right to challenge the investigation. When we have a principle of a court of appeals, but maybe when it comes to when you're coming to challenge the decision of Bezdin, you're coming to challenge their logic and why they came to this conclusion, the Gemara doesn't say you can't challenge that decision. The only thing the Gemara says you may not challenge is only the investigation that Bezdin has done. If we have no reason to assume that it's faulty, there is an error in their investigation, then, and we don't know, and the only question will be, should we start all over again and launch a new investigation to determine the facts? The Gemara says, you're not allowed to do that. But when it comes to challenging their decision, the Gemara doesn't say. Maybe in the Chanam you can challenge their decision. So the bottom line is, there are more Gemaras, there are a lot more Gemaras. I just touched upon Mamish, the Rashi, just touched upon the Rashi Prakim. There are many, many Gemaras throughout Shas. Basically, every Gemara you're going to find is not a good example, is a little bit off. There is no perfect example anywhere in Shas where there is in Shas a situation where you go to Bezdin and they make a decision and you're not happy with the decision. I now want to go to a higher court and ask them to review the case and start all over again. There's no such thing anywhere in the Gemara that says it's osur or mutter. What do you do? And what about making a bezin just for this purpose? That's for sure you don't have in the Gemara anywhere else. So what do we do bizman hazeh? It would be very convenient for us here in America in order to avoid the situation of the issa deraisa of the elaham mishpatim asher tasim lifnim lo lifnim arkois. It would be very convenient if there can be a Jewish court of appeals. Can it be done? In Eretz Yisrael, it is done in the Rabbanut, which is, Rabbanut has a very good reputation. Rabbanut has a very, very good reputation, more or less. In Dinim Monos, they have big, big Talmidei Chachamim, people that are really Yirei Shemayim, Choshev, big Dayanim, who are on the Rabbanut. And they have a court of appeals in Eretz Yisrael in the Rabbanut. There is a court, it's the Mitzis, it is. And Rav Kook, whose Yortzeit is today, writes over here, was 100%. It's mutter lahalacha. Of Kook, you know, what do you know what a Talmud Chacham was? What a goyin he was? Goyinus doesn't know is awesome. Everyone is tzittis from the goyinus of Rav Kook. and of Eliashiv also. Of Yashiv, the Gadol Hadar, he writes in a Feirush, he says, Shikul Hadas, it's not Osir. You can't say that it's Osir. There's no reason why it cannot, it can either have no precedent. You know, there's tradition, but it's not Osir. Doesn't say anywhere it cannot be done to establish, and indeed it is done. It is on Eretz Yisrael to a degree. The issues are, like we reviewed, is where there is a haskama lechatchila between two people that this is going to be the final decision. That's more of an issue. That's more of a controversy. If you mask him, if you take it to court, someone sues you, all right, then already, then you can be mako. If you mask him lechatchila, now you're sour milk, you know, you want to go. Not so simple. You should be permitted. Sour grapes. You should be permitted to go up. It's not resolved. It's not an issue which resolved. It's 3 minutes of controversy. At least we touched upon a little bit of the history and some of the issues relating to this topic.